Boy, that sounded so nice. It was so good to hear that tune.
Yeah, I love that tune.
And
I played it on Desert Island Discs.
Oh, did you?
Which is, for those that don't know the program in America, it's a venerable BBC program where you have to choose 8 records that you would take to a desert island and a book. And eventually, having lived long enough, they asked me to go on it. And I picked a recording of my dad. I'd want to take my dad's voice with me. And that was, so I know that song from really well from childhood. So
he's going to be knocked out to hear you sing that, isn't he?
Yeah, he will get a kick out of it. And both my parents have been very supportive all the way through my career.
Yeah,
and
well,
have understood all the different things that I've done. But obviously their heart lies in a lot of the music that we're speaking about today, you know.
How did you get started, actually? I mean, writing your own songs and...
As is quite common, I think, in musical families, I didn't take any formal musical lessons. And at 13, I just picked up the guitar, a guitar which I'd been given as a gift. And it had just been an ornament in the room until I got the desire to just want to play songs that I heard on record.
Who was very big at that time, then?
Well, it would have been, I was 13 at the time, it was the late 60s.
Beatles?
Beatles, huge. They were the group for me. But also, in pertinent to this program, I think particularly, there was, I suppose you might call him an R&B singer, English and jazz, also later jazz singer, Georgie Fame.
Oh, I know
who
him.
Really did a lot. I mean, he was just a guy who had hit records of those days. But I had all his EPs and a couple of his albums. And he worked a lot with a lot of the English jazz players.
He still is, isn't he?
And he still is. And he is responsible for somebody of my age knowing a lot of music that I didn't get from my parents. I have to give Georgie a lot of credit because he covered a lot of songs. He would do he was the first person I ever heard do a James Brown song, but at the same time, he was also the first person I ever heard do a Count Basie song in a popular idiom, you know, that he was like of the same generation as the Beatles, but... He was doing John Hendricks songs, Miles Allison songs.
Oh, goodness.
And he was putting them right on his records with R&B, with current R&B records. He was doing Big Joe Turner things, Lambert Hendricks and Ross things. I mean, it's really... So a lot of the songs I'm familiar with, I know from when I was 9 years old, I can sing all the solos off his EPs. And he had all these great players, some of whom my dad had played with in the early 50s before he became a vocalist.
Well, you must have a great ear because you must have spent a lot of time taking these things off records.
I didn't realize until I was older, that it isn't an automatic thing that if you can sing that you can harmonize.
No.
I've always been able to harmonize, and therefore I could always sing both parts. I could sing two-part harmony on with a record, and I could always do it. And consequently, I can also remember parts, which has come in useful because... And I never took any formal lessons, except a few brief lessons to tackle musical notation about 10 years ago. And I still can't sight read, but I am able to memorize quite complicated lengths of music. And this came from like avid listening as a child to music that was more complex than, say, the 3 or 4 chords of a lot of pop music, because I did listen to my parents' records, and also to the music that I was introduced to by people like Georgie Fame, heard some other harmony, and it just broadens it. You know?
You've got such a wide range of tunes that you sing. Like, one of your big songs has been Funny Valentine.
Yeah.
And that was something you recorded years ago, wasn't
it? I recorded it in 1978, and I have really no idea why I recorded it. I had a feeling for it, and... I don't know. It stuck with me, and I've sung it on and off ever since.
Can we do it?
Yeah, why not?
I love that.
Mm-hmm.